Tango Tango Papa 1928, November 1, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon. I guess, yeah, it's barely this, it may still be this morning, the time changed. From Springdale, Arkansas. So I've been home for the past few days for time off. I was to come back to work yesterday being Saturday, October 31st. But the load that they sent me didn't pick up until today, Sunday, November 1st. And so ended up spending an extra day at home, more or less, an extra day and an extra night. So I got up this morning and came up here to Springdale and kind of have been waiting at the place where the load loads ever since. I, you know, right now I think they're on their lunch break. By the way, the time did change. I think. No, it's this afternoon now, because the computer clock should have changed. Let me kind of verify that with the cell phone. Yep, it's 12:48, and that's with the time change, so normally it would have been 1:48 by now, but now it's just 12:48, so I have to... I usually, as I cross time zones, I just go by what the GPS says the time. And I know where the time zones are and what have you, but usually the GPS automatically changes as I cross time zones, as well as the cell phone. So, anyway, while I was home, I spent more money. So... one of the things I was able to accomplish, and you know, it wasn't really me that accomplished it, but I kind of got it accomplished, paid somebody to accomplish it. There's a crossover, a metal crossover that I paid guy. It's an air duct underneath my house that goes from one side of the house to the other. It's a double wide mobile home. And so originally it was kind of a flexible rubber type of tubing thing. And of course animals over the years had partially destroyed it, and it wasn't doing a whole lot of good. So originally it's been probably 3 years anyway now, I paid the now kind of infamous my furnace air conditioner repair guy that ended up in prison, I paid him to not only replace my furnace, but replace that duct underneath with a metal duct. One thing he did not do is that he should have done was insulate it. And so I found, you know, this guy that... put up my skirting, the new skirting, when I was home the last time, came back, and he insulated, him and his helper insulated, got underneath there and insulated the, this metal duct. So that's good, you know, obviously. So, and then I'm going to have him come back maybe the next time I'm home, and, only other thing that I have that really needs attention is, I have 2.5 bathrooms, so I've got 3 bathroom vents that need to be replaced. The motors need replacing, plus the range hood vent. So he probably just replace the range hood itself, which will come with a new vent, as opposed to trying to just replace the motor, and then replace the motors in all 3 bathrooms. And so then that's kind of going to be up, you know, everything should be up to kind of up to snuff as far as the house goes, and you know, want to keep that, keep the maintenance up, and keep it, especially the functional parts, keep those up as much as possible. So, you know, so that's. But the house is about 20 years. I've had it for about 20 years now, and it's in pretty decent shape. So. But anyway, so got the guy to come for that, and then, so what else did I do? I bought a new printer. I was going to, you know, I've had terrible problems with inkjet printers over the last, really, I guess, couple of years. Started out, with, and of course part of the problem may be that the printers weren't expensive, but I started out with an HP machine. It was about, I don't know, it was about $50 that I bought. It was kind of an all-in-one type thing without a fax machine that I bought at Walmart. And it seemed to work okay for a little while, and then it all of a sudden it went, I was having problems trying to get it to print. And so then I ended up buying a one, it was about $70 from Walmart. This time it was an Epson, kind of all-in-one, minus the fax function. And kind of ended up having the same problems with it. You know, so they don't make the things like they used to. And I think the biggest problem is it used to be that they you got a new print head every time you got a new cartridge. And they changed that. And now all of the printers are pretty much, the print head is kind of integrated into the printer itself, and the ink cartridge has no print head in it. And so if the print head becomes clogged with the old system, if it became clogged, you just replaced the printer cartridge and you got a new print head. This now nowadays. If the printer head becomes clogged, you're kind of screwed. And then, you know, there's various ways of trying to clean it. You know, you run it, print, try to, or, you know, one of the, you know, and it's rather, it's fairly effective. Print on an acetone sheet that you buy at office supply store specifically for that. You know, printer, scanner, cleaners. You print, try to print something on the that acetone sheet that's moist. It's sort of moist, and that sort of that is fairly effective. It may not result in perfect. You know, it may, if you got a problem, it may not be completely perfect it. And in my case, I couldn't get it to be perfect. So I ended up getting disgusted with that thing. So I, it, even though it was working, it was still streaking and what have you. So I, and I was trying to print something, and it was just leaving things out. So I ended up buying, at this time I was really came close to getting a laser, one of the color lasers. But I instead, I ended up, I got the idea, well, why not buy a printer like at Best Buy and then pay them, you know, and it's only a $10 fee for the 2-year service plan where they either have to repair it or replace it. And if I have problems with it, back to Best Buy it goes. So that's a case where the, you know, the $10 service plan, repair, replace, really could come in handy. And so, so I bought this printer that's also a fax machine. It's sort of a business type of model. I don't remember the model number right offhand, but it's kind of a business type of model, and it's but it does have an integrated fax machine in it. And of course it's a printer scanner function. But it with tax, including the $10 service plan, 2-year service plan, it was only at, with the tax, it was only $109, so not too bad. So I gave the Epson printer to my youngest brother, and I, you know, I told him it wasn't perfect, but he's, I think it's good enough for what he needs, what he would use it for. And so So I got that, and so let's see, what else did I do? I've been thinking about the, you know, since I've gotten this Surface Pro 3, I've been thinking quite a bit about the, you know, I like Windows 10, and I like the touch interface. I like having that touch interface. And that started me thinking about all-in-one desktop machines and sort of the benefits of having an all-in-one desktop machine. And so I've been looking at those for a little while now. And so I spent time this the other night. I was waiting to meet my youngest brother to eat. And so I spent some more time, went to Best Buy and looked at the things again. And then I ended up going over to Office Depot, local Office Depot store, and looking. And so I've gotten a great feel for features on the, especially on these all-in-ones, features versus price. And so at Office Depot, they didn't have too many. They only had three or four all-in-ones, but one of the ones that they had was a Lenovo, which that's the old spinoff from IBM's computer division, became Lenovo, and of course Lenovo is a Chinese company. But Lenovo has, you know, with that IBM heritage, they have a legacy of building really solid business machines, machines that are really aimed at businesses. And so this is a Lenovo, and it was $449. They had I looked on the BestBuy.com website, and the same model as C40 series. And there's more than one C40 or model that goes into the C40, and then I guess there's also a C50 series, which I have not seen in person. But anyway, the on the Best Buy website, the machine that I bought was selling. They had it selling for $499. Well, in the store, Office Depot. Office Depot website, $449. Office Depot store, my local store, was selling it for $449. And so it's a 21.5-inch touchscreen, all-in-one form factor. 8 gigabytes of memory expandable to 16. Running Windows 10 pre-installed, 1 terabyte hard drive that is user accessible, so it can be replaced if I want to, which I may not because it was only $449. And then of course one of my big tests for computers is to see how fast do they reboot. If you restart them, the sample computer in the store, how long does it take to reboot? And some of them are fast, and some of them are not as fast. And so this one was fairly quick. It's running an AMD processor, some version of an AMD processor, which isn't, you know, it's fine. It's not super, super fast, but it's fast enough. And integrated DVD reader, CD reader, writer. So that's in there as well. That's integrated right into it. And of course it has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. It comes with a wired keyboard and mouse. Wired keyboard, wired mouse. But it's only $449. So again, I can kind of forgive the price point, or you know, the features versus the price point is pretty amazing. So, and I've got wireless keyboard and mouse. If I want to use those, I've got them at home. So, don't really need, you know, if I want those, I've got them. So, there's really good value for money in that particular model. And so, I'm pretty happy with that. I bought that, and it's interesting because I ended up putting it, it's kind of in my living room, right next, You know, I've got a pair of French doors, and it's kind of right in, you know, it's in the corner. You come in those French doors from the outside and off the back deck, and it's right there in the corner. And so for a number of years, I've had a Mac Mini sitting there. And so this kind of, you know, I sort of moved the monitor for the Mac Mini out of the way. I left the Mac Mini kind of plugged in and running at this point, because I, you know, if I want remote access into the house, I disconnected the monitor from it, and so it's sort of in a quote-unquote headless state, is what you know, networking person would call that, kind of a headless computer. And if I need into it, I can easily kind of remote into the computer on the, you know, either on my home network if I'm at home, or from remotely anywhere in the world. As long as I have an internet access, I can remote into that thing. And so it's there, and that's what I'm using it for at this point. But all-in-one, I'm kind of surprised. I knew it'd be that I would enjoy it, but it's interesting in that sets up higher, and that's going to vary from one model to the next. This particular one sets up off of the surface of the computer desk, probably about 4 inches, because of the base that came with it, and so it's up high enough where, you know, with a normal monitor, I've got to be really careful, because I find myself sort of hunching over, and, you know, and if I do it too much, I can end up with a sore neck. That hasn't happened for years, but it can happen, so I have to be very careful about that. And so with this particular machine, I can kind of end up, because of the way I placed it closer to the front edge of the desk, and it's up higher, I'm able to assume better posture without even having to really think about it. And it's sort of a fun form factor. Another thing that makes it more kind of appealing to use is the fact that the USB ports are just right out there along the left side. Well, it's actually got some in the back as well. It's got 3 USB ports in the back, and of course it does have a webcam, which is nice. But it's got the 3 USB ports in the back, and that are USB 2, and then there's 2 USB 3s on the side, on the left side, and then along with 2 HDMI ports. So it has 2 HDMIs out. If in case I wanted to plug some other monitors into that, I could, and kind of have 2 extended desktops. Which that would be kind of interesting. I've done it with 1 extended desktop before, but not 2. That would be kind of interesting, I think. So, you know, and it would probably end up increasing productivity. I could see where that could happen as well. So anyway, it's appealing, and it's right there. It's an appealing form factor, and I find it very interesting that. I use that word too much. It's interesting. No, it's not. Fascinating. I think that's probably a better word. Fascinating would be a better word than in this case than interesting. So I find it kind of fascinating that since I've got kind of gone back to Windows and you know, I've gotten these Windows machines, Windows 10, I've really In really appealing form factors, I find myself using them more. There's less resistance. When I have an idea for an article, for example, there's a lot less resistance to the idea of me writing it. It just becomes, you know, it's a more appealing to just grab this, let's say the Surface Pro 3, and write an article, whereas if I had to dig out one of the laptops that I bring with me, that I still have with me. I've got that old white plastic MacBook, and then I've got a little Asus netbook, and both of those are several years old, and they're kind of clunky. I probably wouldn't write those articles, but with this Surface Pro 3 tablet with the keyboard case, it becomes very easy and kind of a quick and easy thing. So same way with that all-in-one form factor. And again, the touch is important. I don't use the touch all the time, but it's nice to have it, because I do find myself from time to time sort of naturally wanting to pinch and zoom. And in this case, I've got I can pinch and zoom all I want, plus I still have a mouse, and in the case or a trackpad, as in the case of this Surface Pro 3, I've got a trackpad, or I can plug that, I did buy a Microsoft, it's called a Microsoft Arc mouse that I bought for those cases where I want, like if I'm editing video, for example, and I want to be really precise, then that you can't beat a mouse for precision, because those touchpads will work just fine, and even touch screens will work fairly, but when you really get into delicate operations where you're looking for the utmost in precision, you can't beat a mouse. The mouse still has a place. So those are the things that I bought. And I don't know. Again, it's kind of fascinating. I haven't been excited for a while. It's been a while since I've gotten excited about computers. And these new machines, and I think it's kind of a combination. There's not any one thing. It's Windows 10, which I really, as I say, I really like Windows 10 and the way it works. The touch, being able to touch the screen if I want to. And as in the case of this Surface Pro 3, it's such a portable form factor. And yet it is a complete computer, and it's actually a very powerful computer. It's actually this Surface Pro 3 is actually more powerful than the desktop machine that this Lenovo all-in-one. The Surface Pro 3 is actually more powerful than that. But the Lenovo, the other thing is that people talk about Apple, and this is of course the iMac is an all-in-one. There's no touch to it. There's no touch screen, but the iMac is an all-in-one approach, and that approach does work well. But the problem really with the iMac and any of Apple's products, they've made them disposable. So they're kind of, not only are they this sort of fashion computing, they're really fashion computing. And they're really moving more and more into the fashion computing category. They're fashion devices, and they're coming out with just plain fashion, unadulterated fashion devices like the Apple Watch. That's a fashion device more than it is a computing device. And so their computers, they try to make them as fashionable as possible. And they're really pushing in that direction. So they're fashion, let's just coin a new term, and it's fashion computing. So, but these devices that I have now, the Lenovo desktop as well as the Surface Pro 3, they're appealing and they're more productivity oriented. And I like the way, I've always liked the way Windows works, except for, when they messed it up with Windows 8 and 8.1, or, with Windows 8 especially. They've kind of corrected that in Windows 10. They've got the touch, you can use either touch or mouse, and it works great either way. So your choice, and it's nice to have a choice. But they're really productivity devices. But the that Lenovo in particular, if you know, as I say, Apple is kind of moving into the fashion, into the realm of fashion computing. But not only that, it's fashion computing that's disposable. Disposable fashion computing. You just throw it away when you're done with it, because it's all sealed and there's no user serviceable parts, and it's all designed to encourage you to spend more money with Apple on a regular basis to get your new fashion fix. And you know, the problem I have, you know, with what's wrong with disposable computing, it's bad if the price is high. If now, you know, this Lenovo, if you really think about it, for $450, I've got a really nice computer that does all kinds of nice things. That for $450, even if it just lasts, if I keep it for 2 or 3 years, it's the real disposable computer. And even it is, I can add memory. It's serviceable. I can add memory to it. I can change the hard drive on it myself. So it's even serviceable. But at $449, it's disposable. It's even disposable. And it's got decent performance to boot. It's 21 and a half inches. It's big enough. It's got a really nice, it's a 1080p screen. And it looks just, touch screen, looks just fine. And but it's at $449, it's disposable. So, anyway, you know, so I find myself kind of becoming really, you know, as I say, it's been a long time since I've been excited about computers. So I think I probably mentioned that I had subscribed to Microsoft's Office 365, which allows, and it's like the single version, which allows one computer, and it turns out it's the use of one computer at a time. So I was able, because I'm glad I tried it. I was able to install Office not only on this Surface Pro 3 that I'm using right now, but on the new computer. I was able to install Office, the whole Office package, on that new computer and on that Lenovo, all in one. And now I can only use one installation at a time. So that's a really, I really like that, the way that works. Because, you know, they know when you're online with it, obviously, and so you can't use it, you know, you're only going to use one thing at a time, but it gives the flexibility. I still have have Microsoft Office, the same Office with the same OneDrive in both places, and I have to say, it really works well. I haven't had a bit of trouble with it at all. You know, and at this point, I've written probably since I got Office 365, I think I've written, I published another article today, so that's a total of 7 articles that I've written with it, and it works great. So, and then the same way with that, I did buy the Adobe Premiere Elements version 14. And they allow you 2 installs. So, I already had the one install here on the Surface Pro 3, and so I went ahead and also installed it onto the Lenovo all-in-one. So, that's working out. I think there's a, you know, people have a bit of resistance to the idea that, you know, there's this mentality that's gotten established. You buy the software, and what they're trying to do is get you to rent the software, or to, you know, and that's really, once you get past the idea, well, I want to own it, you know, there's benefits to renting, and, you know, especially the renting, especially once they figured the pricing model out so that it's not too exorbitantly expensive. You know, so the Microsoft Office, you can still buy it if you want to, but then you just have that version. So the renting at $69 a year for one person, the renting it actually is a better deal. You know, especially if you're going to be upgrading it, then you get access to the whole thing. You've got all of the programs that make up Microsoft Office, and the thing just, you know, it works great. So that's a pretty good model that they've got figured out. Now, you know, so I think, you know, we're probably going to move into that model more and more, and that's actually a good model, because it, you know, then the developer is really encouraged to kind of keep everything current, because you're paying them to. It's kind of like renting a house or something. If, you know, if they don't keep the thing up and they don't do the maintenance and they don't fix things when they're broken, then you got a problem. You know, they have a problem, and the people will move out. But if you, you know, you keep it up and you keep it working, then, and everything's up to snuff, then it's worth the price, because you're going to spend that anyway over time. So, I've kind of warmed up. I'm really warmed up to the kind of the software rental model, as opposed to just buying it and owning it outright, or at least the rights to it, so, or whatever, however that worked. So anyway, I am here in Springdale, Arkansas, and right now I am still waiting to get them to load the load, and if they don't hurry up, it's going to kind of screw things up on the other end. It has the potential. The load delivers at Lufkin, Texas, tomorrow morning at, I think it was 8 a.m., and I may be able to park. I looked on the Google satellite, and I may be able to park in the place if they have, it looks like there's a place to park in their driveway. So possibly I could do that. And if the gate was open, then I could just maybe park on their property. I don't know. So I'll just have to kind of find out and see. But, excuse me, at this point, they're going to, I wish they would hurry up, because I've been here since I got here, I don't know, probably around, I guess maybe 8:30 this morning, something like that. And so I've just been sitting here and sitting here and sitting here, and they finally backed the truck into the door, and so far I'm still sitting here. So anyway, I've got a rather, whenever my phone rings, if I'm not expecting a call, let's say from a shipper or receiver, I don't recognize the number, or it says unknown, or you know, basically, if I don't recognize the number, I usually don't answer it. And usually those kind of calls never leave voicemails. But in this case, I received a voicemail, I don't know, a few days ago, that, you know, I would call kind of an awkward voicemail. So I'm going to play this, you know, call this an awkward voicemail moment. Okay, so there was sort of an awkward voicemail moment. So I don't know what that guy was, obviously at a telemarketing place, and I guess he's just messing around. So, and he's probably in India. I'm guessing. Now, I don't know that for sure, but that's what I'm... Leads me to believe that anyway. So at this point, they have yet to do anything with the load, so I'm just still sitting here. It's about 1:28 p.m. and that's the regular time now, and so it's going to be getting dark earlier than we're used to for a while until we get used to it. So I guess they'll eventually load it. Oh well, whatever. Anyhow, from Springdale, Arkansas, I'll catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.